Brethren, let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're skipping ahead in our Psalm series quite a bit. For those who read the daily readings, the one I mailed out for today was from Psalm 119:113. It says, "I hate vain thoughts." And the word there is vain opinions of men. Vain opinions of men and their vain opinions of God and His way of salvation. And it involves all vain thoughts that are against God, that separate us from God. "I hate vain thoughts, but Thy law do I love." Tomorrow's daily reading is going to be found in the same psalm, and it'll be in verse 163. Tomorrow you'll get to read it, but tonight you'll get to hear it preached. So I'm going to preach Psalm 119, 163. And it goes along the same lines. It is this: "I hate and abhor lying, but Thy law do I love." If you read these psalms like we should and hear Christ speaking, we hear Christ saying, "I hate and abhor lying." He made that evident in the way He spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called them liars. He called them hypocrites. He called them whited sepulchers. He warned His disciples against their doctrine. He said it's full of leaven. He said it's the doctrine of devils. He hates and abhors lying. "But Thy law do I love." The Word of God, every Word of God, beginning to end. All His commandments, all His precepts, all His judgments, all His statutes, every Word of God beginning to end, do I love. Is there anybody that doesn't hate for others to lie to us? Don't you hate to be lied to? You know, that's so in secular things. We hate to be lied to, even in just secular things. Lying hurts. And usually the lie hurts worse than whatever it is the lie is covering up. That's true when a false gospel is preached. That false gospel, which is a lie, hurts worse than what it's covering up. That's what Christ meant when He said, "You make a proselyte of men, but you make them twofold more the child of hell." Because now they were simply fallen in Adam and lost. Now they're lost, fallen in Adam, but they think they have righteousness. They think they're saved. And they're twofold more the child of hell than when men found them. So lies hurt worse than what they're covering up. The worst of all lying, though, is those who lie against God, our Savior. Now, we say with Paul, Paul said of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, "I pray to God that they might be saved." You know, you need somebody to be saved when they're lost. And that's what he said. "I pray that they might be saved." They were lost. Christ said they were lost. Christ said, "Don't follow them." He said, in fact, he said, "Leave them alone." But we pray for men. We pray that they might be saved. But if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved through truth. Lying, in fact, is one of the worst sins there is. Because God is truth. God is the truth. Christ said, "I am the truth." God is light. Christ said, "I am the light." And there's no darkness whatsoever in God. And so lying against God, lying even to men, before men, it's opposite to God, who is truth. John said, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie." If we say we believe Him, we say we trust Him, we say He's all our salvation, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We do have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our subject tonight is hate lying, love God's law. Hate lying, love God's law. Believers not only dislike lying, we hate lying. And we not only like the commands of our God, we love the law of our God. We love the law of our God. First of all, hate and abhor lying. You couldn't use stronger language. David writes here, I hate and abhor lying. You know, in our day, men, you can't say anybody's telling a lie. That's being ungracious and unloving. No, that's being a hateful hypocrite, what that's being. If you don't tell men the truth, you don't lie. You don't love them. If you don't tell men the truth of God, you hate their soul and you'd sooner see them go to hell with you. That's the truth of the matter. Telling men the truth is love. We tell men truth in love. And we speak the truth because we love. We want to see sinners saved. We don't want to see them perish. It was one lie that set things in motion for this whole world to be separated from God and to fall into sin and death. And that's what lying does. That's exactly what lying does. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God doesn't save through truth, through lies. He saves through truth. Because there's no lie in Him. Christ said, when the Spirit comes, He'll guide you into all truth. Because He won't speak of Himself, He'll speak of me, Christ said. Look here, Genesis 2:17. God spoke the truth when He said to Adam, of the tree, Genesis 2:17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's God's word. That's the truth. That's the word of God. Now, it's for Adam's good. If he obeys the word of God, it'll be good for Adam. If we obey the word of God, it'll be good for us. But if he disobeys the word of God, it's going to be evil for him and for everybody he represents, because he's a representative man. He represents the whole human race. But Satan, the father of lies, he slithers into the garden. And this is what Satan always does. You hear the word of God preached and it says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And Satan slithers into a pulpit and he says, now, that doesn't mean God hated Esau. That's how he operates. Scripture says, Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Satan slithers into the pulpit. He says, but now that just meant those people he was talking to. You can come by your will. If you're willing, come. That's a lie. Satan says, that's not what God meant. Here's what God meant. Look, let's see. Let's see that's what he does. Genesis 3:4. He said, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, he said, that's not what God meant, that you're going to die. What he meant is your eyes are going to be open. You're going to behold good and evil. You're going to be like God. And through the lie, Eve began to flirt with temptation. That's all she was doing at first. She just flirted with it. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, all she did was look at it. And then she thought, what harm could come by merely holding the fruit? She's going to flirt with temptation just a little bit more. I'm just going to hold the fruit. After all, we hadn't been forbidden to hold it. And so she took of the fruit thereof. Isn't this how lies work? Isn't this how they go? They tempt us a little more and a little more. Look now. And then holding the fruit, what did she do? And she did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so one lie led to every sinner on the face of this planet being separated from God, dying in sin because of Adam's transgression against God. Because Adam represented his people. But lying never ends with one lie. You have to have a lie to cover the lie. Whenever Adam became a liar, or he became a liar when he disobeyed God. When he ate of that fruit, Adam became a liar. And now Adam's going to try to cover his first lie. And so he makes a fig leaf apron. And you know what that fig leaf apron was? It was a lie. That fig leaf apron was a lie. He made one lie to cover his other lie. That's what lies are. And that's how lies operate. And on the lies go. All the way down to us where their lies brought forth spiritually dead liars like you and me. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. We go forth and we have vain thoughts of how God is. And you'll hear people that they don't know anything at all about the Word of God. They're not reading the Word of God. They're not looking in the Word of God. And they'll tell you what they think about God. And they'll tell you what they think about how God saves. And they'll tell you what they, this is what I think. This is what I think. I hate vain thoughts. That's what God said. That's what Christ said. That's what David said. I hate vain thoughts. I hate lying. I hate it and I abhor it. Do you hate and abhor lying? Do you? If we don't love the truth and hate lying, then we hate the truth and we love lying. It's one or the other. This is not gray matter here we're talking about. So lies don't accomplish anything. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Lying separates. It separates man from God. It separates man from man. Lying never makes things better. It only makes things worse. Lies draw us further into temptation and bring forth death. Look at this now. Only truth makes alive. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. We're apt to excuse our lies using God's providence. Now, was God providentially ruling everything in the garden? Absolutely. God's absolutely sovereign. If something happens out of God's control, then he's not God. God's absolutely in control of everything. But was God to blame for Satan's lie? Was God to blame for Eve's lust? Was God to blame for Adam's disobedience? No, not whatsoever. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away from what? The truth. The truth. Adam was drawn away from God. He was drawn away from God, the truth. You're tempted when you're drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now notice these steps right here. When lust hath conceived, you see, lust is conceived in the mind. That's what happens first. Then it brings forth sin in the act. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's the steps. So he says here in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err from what? Don't err from God's Word. Don't err from the truth of God. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. With the Word of truth. Don't turn from God. Don't turn from truth. Don't turn from His gospel. Don't turn from any word God speaks in His Scripture. Don't turn from God. Period. We imagine a vain thing if we imagine we can save ourselves by lying. Now you just think about this. Just in your own every day to day, men are vain to imagine they can save their jobs by lying. Just get tangled up in a web of lies. Men begin to think they can save their marriages by lies. Men think they can save their reputation by lies. Think how backwards that is. I'm going to save my reputation as being an honest man. How? I'm going to lie. I'm going to save myself from shame. How? By doing the most shameful thing I could do. I'm going to lie. And worst of all is if we think we can save ourselves through a false gospel. Christ died for everybody. He wants to save everybody, but he's helpless and he can't do it because you're God over Christ. You think you're going to be saved by that? If you meet God, you'll find out that's not the Christ of this Bible. That's a lie. And I hate that message. I don't just dislike it. I hate it and I abhor it. I hate lying against my God and my Savior. Why? Well, take your own father. Take your own mother. Somebody comes along and they just go to speaking every foul thing they can say about them and speaking lies about them and just speaking blasphemy against them. Will it not rile you? Will it not make you say, I hate the lies they're telling against my mother or my father? Well, this is my father. This is my Savior who bore my sin and put away my sin and made me the righteousness of God. Of course I hate lies against him. And any man that does not hate lies against him must not love him. What kind of love is that? David said, I hate lying. I hate it. I hate it. Whether we're found out by men or not, whether men ever know it or not, lies may save from temporary suffering, but they lies never save in the long run. They may save temporarily, but they never save in the long run. And whether men ever find out about it or not, by lying we've forsaken the truth. We've left the truth. By lying we no longer in the realm of God and light and truth, but walk in darkness. Listen to this. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And first and foremost, when God speaks words like this, when he gives us a statute like this, a precept, his judgments like this, first and foremost, it has to do with truth concerning God and truth concerning his Son. The lip of truth shall be established forever, by a lying tongue is but for a moment. That moment may last a while. In fact, it might last our whole lifetime. The rest of our lives, men may regard us as just and good and holy. You join in with a false gospel. You join in saying, well, I believe I was saved by my will. I believe I was saved by my doing. I believe I'm made more holy and more righteous by my doing rather than by Christ's doing. Well, you may get away for a long time, all your life, and you might be a preacher, or you might be regarded as a saint. It might be regarded as a faithful husband and a father, or a faithful mother and a wife. May be regarded as a faithful son and daughter. We may be honored and we may be praised by men. But soon that moment's going to pass away, just as fast as our lives pass away. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to stand before the truth, face to face with the truth. And I'm talking about God who is truth. If I don't know him and I don't trust him and I don't rest in him, that ought to scare me to death. That ought to grab my attention and make me know that in a second, in a breath, I could be standing face to face with truth. Where will we be found then? Where will we be found in that day? Will our refuge of lies save us? The Lord said the overwhelming flood's going to sweep away the refuge of lies. If your refuge has anything whatsoever to do with you, it's a lie. And God won't receive you. Or me either. But soon, we're going to stand before God. David's hatred of lying is typical of God's hatred of lying. That's what we have here. We have Christ speaking to us in this psalm. That's what we have here. Now let me show you what he says, what's going to happen in Judgment Day to liars. Look at Psalm 101 and verse 7. Psalm 101 and verse 7. Now let's look at verse 6 first. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And in case you don't realize that, speaking of the glory of God in final glory, Revelation 21:27 says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." But who are these perfect? Who are these that walk perfect before God? They which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's who we're talking about. They which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody might say, well, haven't we all told a little white lie now and then? That's the way we vainly justify ourselves. It's soothing to the conscience if you're just one in a million, isn't it? It makes us feel good. It makes us feel more comfortable. And so we go on lying to our conscience, and we go on boldly lying to God and lying to everybody and living a lie about toward God and men, insisting that our lives are the truth. And all our ways, if they're not in accordance with God's ways, they're lies. If they're not in accordance with God's word, they're lies. No, we have not all told a little white lie now and then. Before God, there are no little white lies. There are only big, bold, black lies. And truth is, all the natural man is a liar, and all the natural man does is lie. Lies ooze from the natural man's tongue like pus from a gangrene wound. But the fact that we're all liars by nature doesn't justify anybody from being a liar. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to show you what God said. He said this of Israel, and this is true of God's spiritual Israel. That true Israel, that national political Israel typified. This is true of all of us who God will save, all of His elect, Jew or Gentile. This is true of everybody God will save. This is true of us right here. Jeremiah 9, verse 3. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. This is us by nature. This is us by nature. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. He says there in verse 5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he's laying wait. Shall I not visit them for these things? Saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He's saying that lying is against God's own soul. He says, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? If we're born of God, you and I, who've been born of God, if we're born of God, we hate lying. We abhor lying. And we love the Word of God. The two are diametrically opposite. If we love the truth of God, we hate lying. And if we hate lying, we love the truth of God. The two can't meet. They're opposite. And yet, even us, believer, do we not lie every day? The self-righteous man will say, oh, I don't lie. You just lie. You just lied. Listen to me. We omit the truth. That's a lie when you omit the truth. We lie by putting on a fake face. We lie with flattery. We lie to prevent personal suffering. We like Balaam. Whenever the Lord spoke to Balaam and he said, He gave him the word. He gave him the word of God, the truth of God, God's judgment, God's statute. And instead of going to those men and telling them, no, I cannot go with you. Do not return because God has said, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people for they are blessed. Instead, we do like Balaam. There was a yes in his no. He left the door open for him to come back. Because he wanted them to come back. Because he wanted to lie. Because he wanted to go against God's way. And brethren, look at this, Colossians 3. This is what God tells us as saints of God. This is what he speaks to you and I, saints of God. This is his law. This is the law that we're under. He tells us we're risen with Christ. We're seated at the right hand of God. He tells us, therefore, set our affections on things above. Our heart, our very soul needs to be set on things above. How do I do that? I mean, what does that mean? What is that going to translate into in my life? It's going to mean that everything I'm doing it with a heart toward one object. First of all, me personally, I want to glorify God. I want to glorify my Savior. I want to bring honor to His name. I want to be somebody that's a witness of what the grace of God does in power and mercy. And two, I want to do everything towards this cause of spreading the truth of Christ, of me and hearing the truth of Christ. Were you saved by truth? If not, why are you even here? Why be here if you're not saved by the truth? What does it matter? Huh? Are you like some that says truth doesn't matter? It doesn't matter if a man ever hears the gospel or not. That's a lie. That's not according to this word. I'm not jonesing around with you here. That's true. That is a lie, brethren. It pleased God. He told Abraham, I'm going to justify the heathen through faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's not just so for some. That's so for every sinner. Heed God's word now before you meet the truth and find out that's true. You will find out that's true. Here's what he tells us to do in Colossians 3. He tells us, verse 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And so he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Oh, but the children of disobedience, they're just a little misguided. They might be God's elect, and Christ might have died for them, and they'll be okay. No, they're not walking in the truth. No, they're not obeying God. And until God comes and brings you out of that disobedience and brings you under the rule of Christ Jesus, you're a lost, disobedient child. And if you deny that, you're a lost, disobedient child. Listen now. In the which you walked some time when you lived in these things, we used to be nothing but sin. We used to be nothing but disobedience to God. We were children of wrath even as others. We were under the dominion of the serpent, of Satan himself. And we walked in nothing but the flesh. But now, you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now here's what all of these have in common, brethren. They're all lies. Lie not one to another. If I'm an idolater, you know what I'm doing before men? I'm lying to men. If I'm worshiping a little J Jesus and a little G God, and I'm saying that He can't do anything without my consent, I'm an idolater. And I'm lying to men. I'm taking the name of Christ in vain when I call myself a Christian, if that's my God. That's a lie. And he says, now, if you've been saved, don't lie to one another anymore. Don't lie to one another anymore, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. That's all the old man is, the unsaved, uncalled, unregenerated old man. The man that has not been converted is just an old man of sin. And you have put on the new man. You have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How is this new man made? God created him. How is this new man renewed? He's renewed in the knowledge of God. Our old man's dying daily. The old man is dying, but the new man is being renewed daily in the knowledge of God, in through the gospel of God, through these holy scriptures of God. This is why we hate lying. Lying feeds the flesh. The truth feeds the new man. And he says, and you're created after the image of Him. God is truth. God is truth. So he says, speak no more lies. He says, and in this new man there's neither Greek nor Jew anymore. We don't know of a national Israel and a Gentile anymore. If you're born of God, you don't. If you're born of God, you don't. There is neither Greek nor Jew in Christ. He's a Jew, which is one inwardly, which is born of the Holy Spirit, whose praise is of God, not of man. Circumcision's in the heart. It's not in the flesh. That's what God was teaching us all through using Israel. And if you're in Christ, you know that because you've been taught by God that. There's no circumcision nor uncircumcision. When I speak of my love for the law of God, I'm speaking of I love it more. I love the Ten Commandments more than men who claim they're keeping the Ten Commandments. I'm like David. I love them. I love them. I trust in Christ thoroughly to have fulfilled them for me, to have totally established the law of God on my behalf. Paul went all through, I said to you the other day, he went all through Romans, and he said, we're not justified by the law. By the law, we're made to shut our mouths and we become guilty before God. And he said, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifest in the faithfulness of Christ. That's where we see the righteousness of God. God sent Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. God sent Him forth to freely justify His people through faith in His blood. And so Paul comes down and he says, now where's boasting then? Is it by the law of works or by the law of faith? By the principle of works or by the principle of faith? Boasting is only excluded if I'm trusting Christ to have thoroughly fulfilled the law on my behalf. And he says, so then, we're not the ones who make void the law. No, no. Believers establish the law because we're trusting Christ to establish it. And he goes right on in the context and he says, even like Abraham did before 430 years before he ever had the commandments given to him. He perfectly established the law. How? He didn't even have the Ten Commandments. In Christ Jesus, his surety. He thoroughly established them. And men take that and they say, what that means is now you got to keep them. That's a lie. Now I'm not saying anything wrong with the law. We love the law of God. It's holy, just, and good. And I wish I could keep the law of God as it ought to be kept. And I'm not saying don't look into the Word of God and see what the actual Ten Commandments say. They're perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. If you could keep them, Christ wouldn't have had to come. But what I am saying to you is don't ever imagine you can come to God in them. Don't ever imagine you're going to be able to present yourself before God by what you've done in the law. It's just not going to happen. Well, how then, brethren, are we going to have strength? How are we going to have obedience and to be able to, or strength to walk in obedience to God? Here's the second part. And he says in our text, thy law do I love. Our constant need is that by truth, by every word of God in these scriptures, God will bring us to continually repent from lies, from ourself, and make us crowd in truth, saying, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And God does that by making us know the truth in the new man, in the heart he's made new by his grace. David said he was already made new by God's grace, but he sinned against God. And having sinned against God, he come to God and he cried this. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. Truth in the heart, in that new man. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He didn't say, you desire truth in the hidden parts. So now I'm fixing to try to work up some truth in me. He said, you, God, shall make me to know wisdom. You're going to make me to know this truth in the inward part. He says, I need you to purge me with hyssop. I need you to wash me, and then I'll be clean. Then I'll be spotless. I need you to make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you've broken may rejoice. He said, I need you to hide your face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. He said, I need you to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What is this truth of God that He puts in our inward parts? What is this wisdom of God that He puts in our inward parts? What is this Word of God that David is delighting in our text? How is it God can look away and blot out all my iniquities? God makes us behold truth in Christ on the cross. And when we behold Christ on the cross, this is what we behold. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Brethren, when we lie, it's usually because we don't want to suffer the consequences of the truth. That's usually why we lie. We don't want to suffer the consequences of the truth. The truth may be we've done something and we're going to suffer for it. Or the truth may be the truth of the gospel and we just don't want to suffer the rejection we're going to get when we declare the truth. But usually, when we lie, it's because we don't want to suffer the consequences of the truth. But think on this. Truth may cause great pain and suffering. It may very well do it. It did our substitute on the cross. Truth caused him great suffering on the cross. But suffering for the truth was the only way of upholding the truth. It was the only way of redeeming God's elect from lies. God's elect are saved from the consequences of that great lie in the garden and from all our sins and all our personal lies because Christ bore the vengeance of God for every lie of His people because every lie is against God's own soul. Because God chose His people in Christ, Christ came forth, this one who never lied, this one who is the truth, this one who is the spotless Lamb of God. And He laid down His life to God. He presented Himself to the Father at the hour appointed. And Christ the truth laid down. He took all our lies upon Himself whenever He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And Christ said, charge their lies to my account. And so God numbered Him with the transgressors. And He was made a curse for us. And so He bore the vengeance of God for His people. In doing so, He upheld the truth, the righteousness of God. And now God, in truth, can be merciful to us who are by nature liars. Isn't the truth wonderful? That's how He upheld the truth. That's how He upheld the truth. You see how truth is always the best no matter how much we have to suffer? Look at Christ. Look at how much He suffered. Truth may mean necessary suffering, but truth always prevails over suffering. Two great things are accomplished by truth. Two great things are accomplished by truth. You can find them in Proverbs 16:6. Number one, by truth, God is just and the justifier of His people. He said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Truth purged iniquity together with mercy. And number two, by truth, God makes us depart from our darkness into His marvelous light. He said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6, by the mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, that's true, men depart from evil. Those are two great things that truth accomplishes. And He said, my word never fails. It never fails. It always accomplishes what I send it for. When David says, I love the law, thy law do I love, it's this word of truth. It's every word this book declares. This book declares, it doesn't lie. It doesn't say we just stumped our toe in the garden. It says we're totally ruined in the fall. This book doesn't say that God looked and found some condition in us and that's why He chose us. This book says we're chosen by unconditional election. This book doesn't say that Christ died for everybody under the sun, but really accomplished nothing by His death. He really did not justify anybody. He really did not redeem anybody. He really did not purge anybody's sins, which is what we must say if we say, your faith will make His blood effectual. No, this book teaches that Christ redeemed His particular people from our sins and put them away, never to be remembered by God again. This book does not teach that men come to God by their will, and that they trust God, and they believe, and by their will they're saved. It teaches that God, by His irresistible grace, draws us to Him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. He draws us to Him. This Bible does not teach that men are born today and lost tomorrow. It teaches that God preserves His saints. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will keep His saints. And that's the only way you and I persevere in faith. The only way. The law of God, which believers love, is stated in Romans 1. Romans 1, verses 1 and 3. Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. And he tells us what it is. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's what he was talking about in all these Holy Scriptures. You're wasting your time. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to others if you're looking to the prophets to try to spend all your time discovering what God said it's not for you to know. He said he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, my gospel. And he says this, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's what this whole book's about, from beginning to end. Jesus Christ, the truth. You know, he didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. That means whatever truth we're looking at in this book, it's about him. He's the truth. Christ is the truth. And if we're not interpreting Scripture in the light of Christ the truth, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to our conscience. We're lying. We're just liars. This is the truth. This book, speaking of Him. And it's the truth that He upheld the truth. And it's the truth that He conquers all liars. Whether it's Satan, the liar, whether it's His enemies who are liars, or whether it's His people who are liars in our flesh. He conquers all liars. He said He's going to make all enemies His footstool. You and I, who were enemies in our minds by wicked works, we're going to be to bow and kiss His feet, as well as all the rest of His enemies, because He conquers them. This law of God spoken of in our text is the wisdom God puts in our hearts. That's what it is. The law He writes in our hearts. What is it? It's when Christ the truth is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom. When Christ is formed in our hearts. That's whenever a man stops walking after his own way. That's when he starts looking into this book. When he looks at the law, the Ten Commandments, and he discovers himself guilty of not being able to fulfill it, it turns him to his schoolmaster. Drives him like a schoolmaster to Christ that he might be justified by faith. And when faith has come, you're no longer under the schoolmaster anymore. You walk following Christ. The law we're under is faith which works by love. And Paul said, and if you turn back again and you want to start with that first entrance into the law, which was circumcision, then you're a debtor to do everything written in the law. Everything written in the law. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. Faith which works by love. Constrained by the love of Christ, because we thus judge if one died for all his people, then all his people were dead. We were dead. We were unable to save ourselves. And then those that are made alive now, we're made to know that we don't live unto ourselves anymore, but we live unto Him. That's the love we're constrained by. And therefore, each morning, we beg God for this. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me thy truth. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. What's our constraint to walk in this truth and speak the truth before God and all men? The truth of the facts in every situation we're in and the truth of the gospel. Because now we know how important truth is. I feel for the man that's not saved by the truth. There is no salvation out of the truth. The man who thinks he's saved out of the truth, I've never met one yet that cares much for the gospel. Oh, he'll fake it for a few years. As Arthur Pink said, he'll walk on the finer side of the Broadway for a while. But sooner or later, he'll say, I don't want to have anything else to do with that. But you who've been made to know the truth by the truth know how valuable this truth is to us. You know how we need the Word of God. You know how we need the gospel of Christ. You know how we need to read this book and study this book and follow after Him. We depend on Christ to keep us, to protect us, And we know every word God speaks is holy, just, and good. And it's for our good. It's for our good. And that's why David said, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." I stand in awe of his word. Do you not find that the word of God, from time to time, you see the wisdom of God in the way he works among his people, in his church and using his people, and the way he says what he's going to do beforehand and brings it to pass. And you just stand in awe of God. You just see him and you think, "I stand in awe of your word, Lord. I'm just in awe of it." I'm going to be brief here, but let me tell you what this word is. This word is truth. This word is truth. Every other book, I'll tell you the difference in this book and every other book. Every other book is written by a fallible man, and so it's fallible. It's got lies in it. This book has not a single lie in it, because it's the writing of God. That's right. It's the only book that's way. This book's the only God, only word that declares the gospel we preach, through which God reveals the righteousness of God, how God can be just and justifier. And the words of this book are more needful at the beginning of each day than breakfast is. Look here in verse 15, Psalm 119:15. I'll be very brief here. Look at Psalm 119:15. He said, "I'll meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Look at verse 23. "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." Look at verse 48. "My hands also which I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Verse 78, he says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I'll meditate in thy precepts." 148, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." Believer, do you meditate on the word? I'm not talking about this silly junk men do, what they call meditation. I'm talking about this. Get up in the morning and read something out of this book. Just a verse, just a phrase, in context. Read the context of it, but get a verse and read it. And you'll be amazed if you go through the day thinking about that verse, thinking about it, rolling it over and over in your mind and keeping it on your heart all through the day. You'll be amazed how God will work all the events in your life to teach you what that verse means. He'll teach you what that verse means. And we say, "Well, I read it sometimes, and I can't understand it, so I just don't read it." Well, we don't meditate in it. Take it with you throughout the day and think on it all day long. And when something happens, when somebody pulls out in front of you at the traffic light, think, "Does that verse apply to that?" And keep thinking about it, and you'll find out before the end of the day, God will teach you. He might not do it that day. I walk around with verses sometimes for a week or a month or sometimes a year. But sooner or later, God drops it right into your heart and says, "This is what that means." Meditate on his word. I was going to show you a couple other things, but I'm out of time. But if you'll read verses 97 through 100, it'll show you three enemies that we overcome by this word. We overcome our enemies, all those that separate us from God. We overcome false teachers. That's what he says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." That means false teachers. And then he says to us there, "And I understand more than the ancients." You know how men are bring up all kind of ancient traditions to you that their church does. All you got to do is take it to this word right here. You know this word. This word don't tell us to. It don't say get up on Sunday and meet just with your church and eat dinner every Sunday after church and take a dish to somebody that's sick every day and that's gonna make you saved. This book don't say that. It don't say that. Those aren't bad things to do, but this book don't say you're gonna be saved that way. You have. Men, I quote ancient men. I quote old faithful preachers. But you know how I decide if their quote is worth quoting? If it's in this book right here. And you can't, just because you quote a man, doesn't mean that everything that man says is going to be faithful. You take it to this book and see. You judge it on that one statement. And then you have ancient sinners, old men, old grandpas and grandmas that don't want to have anything to do with God, they want to take a new believer and pull them aside and say, "Now, let me tell you something. Let me warn you about something about what I've learned." I'll tell you what you do with old grandma and old grandpa. You take the ancient man of this book right here, and if it's not in this word, cut him loose. I'm telling you that. That's what the book says. Paul told Timothy, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I got two things to take home with you, just two. Number one, hate and abhor lying. And number two, love the Word of God. And that's it. Amen.